Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and yoga, regardless of what else it is a $6 billion annual business in the United States and practiced in some form by nearly 16 million Americans. For many of those practitioners, yoga is just about exercise. For others, it takes on a spiritual element. But is yoga religious? And if so, does it belong to any one religion? Sunday, the New York Times carried stories about Christian yoga, where prayers to Jesus and asana poses happen simultaneously. Another story discussed a movement being promoted by the Hindu American Foundation to reacquaint people with yoga's connection with ancient Hindu traditions. The Vatican is warning Catholics away from yoga, calling it, quote, a cult of the body. And a Seattle megachurch pastor recently called yoga demonic. Listeners, what do you think? How religious is your practice if you do yoga? Or does yoga transcend religion? Yoga teachers, we'd particularly like to hear from you. Do you teach yoga with spirituality? Or do you decouple the exercise from whatever the religious or spiritual origins may have been? 212-433-WNYC. Do you open classes with prayers in Sanskrit? Or not. 212-433-9692. Have any chanting in your yoga classes? Post it to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or call us up, 212-433-9692. And I'm joined now by two authors who have looked into the origins and current practice of yoga. Mark Singleton, the author of Yoga Body, The Origins of Modern Posture Practice, and Stephanie Simon, author of The Subtle Body, The Story of Yoga in America. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And Mark, your book was somewhat controversial for claiming that the exercise part of yoga is not an ancient Hindu practice, right?
That's right, yeah. The mainstay of yoga practice today, asana and posture practice, is a relatively late addition. Not that asanas were not there, but they were never the main thing that people practiced under the name of yoga until the modern era.
Stephanie, how strong are the religious ties in yoga as it's practiced here, do you think?
Right now, we're really seeing much more secular yoga being practiced as the dominant form. But we tend to go through cycles in America of moments when we embrace yoga as a full-blown spiritual discipline with, you know, the deities and chanting as a much more central part of the practice, and moments where it's really much more about a kind of physical yoga, postural yoga. We've cycled through a couple times already now.
Ben in Carroll Gardens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think we're dealing with really an issue just of terminology here, kind of like the word meditation. So in other words, while indeed kind of the original yoga or whatever you want to call it may have indeed come out of Hindu beliefs and probably plays a very large part, you know, what's practiced today and dubbed yoga in all the fitness places around the city probably isn't the same. Just as in, you know, what we call meditation today, although we might refer back to, say, Tibet or Japan or something, does not necessarily equate to what somebody in Tibet might call meditation.
Ben, thank you. Stephanie, how much do you agree with that?
I think there's some truth to it. I mean, I think these spiritual technologies change when they encounter other cultures. And certainly today we really tend to take a little piece of yoga and these asanas, which have a kind of mixed origin, and focus on that. I think it's useful to retain the terminology, though, because there's like a continuum of practice. And so it really connects what you're doing, even if it's very simplified, to something bigger and deeper. And for those who do want that deeper experience, they have sort of a means to get there.
So you'd probably agree with Hal from Brooklyn, who wrote on our webpage, yoga in America has as much to do with Hinduism as Christmas in America has to do with Christianity, more or less, depending on the individual.
About right. And Christmas was originally a pagan holiday, so speaking, you know, to Mark's point about the sort of mongrel roots of yoga.
Meaning as a winter solstice holiday,
yes,
with the tree before there was Jesus. Makusha in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Well, I'm a Christian, and I used to do yoga, and I found it really calming, but then I realized that I think basically, like, it is an Indian, a Hindu, like, part of the Hinduism. And so I felt that I was worshiping, especially with some of the poses, some of the gods. And I have Indian friends, and it is a form of worship, like, especially some of the poses. And, like, I believe that when you do that, you are connecting to some of the spiritual whatever in their things. So I decided to cut that part out. And now I stretch every morning. So, but, you know, I don't feel that if I touch my toes, that's a form of worship of any Hindu god.
But as a Christian, there are certain positions that you won't do because you think they're Hindu prayer.
Right. And if you talk to a Hindu, that's what they'll say. So, I mean, I think that, like, we in America, we tend to take things and then we say that they're not spiritual, but sometimes they are. Like, it's things that are deeply spiritual, we tend to ignore and put aside the spiritual part of it. Whereas if you actually speak to someone from India, if you speak to someone who is Hindu, they will be like, yes, that is a form of, that is a, like a physical prayer, if you will.
Makashla, thank you very much for your call. Mark Singleton, how much do you think the history bears out her perception or even what her Hindu friends say?
Well, it really depends on what you mean by the term Hindu. Hindu, as Asim Shukla has pointed out, is a term that was used by Muslims to describe the people of India and their religious practices at a quite modern stage. But the way that the word Hindu is used today is not quite the same as that. It's been kind of co-opted in a certain way and has its own modern history. And so the assertion that yoga is Hindu is complex, both in terms of the meaning of the word yoga and also the context of Hinduism itself. So it's quite often the case that yoga in classical times, before the modern period, was not a sectarian endeavor. So you have, say, the founding text of yoga in some ways, the Yoga Sutras, is classified as a Samana Tantra, a universal universal teaching that isn't restricted by sectarianism or you know, having to belong to a particular religion or a particular part of that group of religions. You have other texts, like the earlier systematic text of Hatha Yoga, which basically says that if this is followed, accomplishments can be gained by Buddhists, by Jainas, and by people kind of on the fringes of Hindu society. And then you get into the modern period where there's much more sort of commerce with the West, with a kind of the birth of a kind of Hinduism that's very open to ideas from the West, from ideas from Protestant Christianity, from Unitarianism, and a real rethinking of what it means to be Hindu. Mm-hmm. And the yoga as we know it today is really a product of that time and place. The debate in the New York Times is really a false one insofar as it doesn't take into account the changing meanings of yoga and Hinduism through time.
Right.
And it attempts... Yeah, sorry, it attempts to polarize the debate in terms of, well, whether it's Hindu or not without
right.
defining it.
And I guess there are people who are sort of more nationalist in their Hinduism and people who are more nationalist, if you will, in their Christianity, both of whom will say, yeah, this is Hindu, so don't forget it's Hindu,
right.
Whether that's seen as a good thing or a reason to avoid it. Elizabeth in Manhattan, you're on WNYC, you're a yoga teacher?
I am. I'm a private yoga teacher here in the city. And it's just interesting what he was saying, though, about yoga was supposedly, at least here anyway, the way that we've turned it in the West, we've sort of been able to make it our own thing. It was something that was supposed to be, or it seems like it was supposed to be for everybody. It didn't have to be a specific religion. But I found that in my teaching, my client base is very much not into the spiritual aspect of the teachings. And so I've had to sort of, you know, kind of come around and meet them where they want to be because it is also, you know, yoga teaching in a capitalist society. I need to keep my business going.
Right. So you're teaching yoga in secular Manhattan, and
yes.
they're going to get turned off if yes. you introduce some chanting or something like that.
And that's not true for every single person, but I do find it true for a lot of my clients. And then, you know, yoga is so vast now, they can certainly find the chanting and, you know, a much more deeply spiritual experience in classes and other places around the city.
Right.
You can certainly find it, but I just find that my students, where I teach them privately, mm-hmm. are not so interested in it.
Interesting. Thank you. Now, we're talking about Hinduism and a little bit of Christianity and yoga, but tomorrow happens to start Hanukkah, and Stephanie Simon, before you go, you have agreed to give the latest edition to the 2010 Brian Lehrer Show Guest Gift Guide. You're going to be scrambling for a gift today, I understand, and we're asking various selected guests what they are giving this year, and we're going to put a database of this online, and Stephanie is one of the people who agreed to give us a little gift tip. What are you doing?
So what I would like to give, and this isn't a gift for adults, not children, so I'd like to give the gift of sleep. I have two small children, so I think technically that means giving some babysitting.
So that's one way to give the gift of sleep.
That's one way.
That's the way to give the gift of going to the theater.
Right. It depends on when you give it, in the morning or in the evening, or right. just letting your husband sleep in.
Or if babysitter takes the baby out, then it's giving the couple the gift of something else.
Perhaps, yes.
So, but the gift of babysitting, that's a nice thing. It's a gift of time, really.
Yes.
It's the gift of time. Mark, you're scoffing, ultimately, in our last 50 seconds at this ginned-up debate between whether yoga is Hindu or not, sounds like?
No, I think Hindus have a right to call attention to their tradition, but it seems important that that people look to the broader tradition and learn something about the places that yoga came from within Hinduism in the modern sense, you know, the broader Hinduism, but also places, you know, and traditions like Buddhism and sort of hybrid traditions such as have grown up in the West.
Stephanie, I know you want to get in. 10 seconds.
I just think it's a little specious, too, to say that Americans aren't aware of its Hindu or Indic roots. I mean, every studio you go into practically has a Ganesha or a Shiva statue or an Om very visible. So I think people are aware of that. It's what they do with that information.
Stephanie Simon, author of The Subtle Body, The Story of Yoga in America. Mark Singleton, author of Yoga Body, The Origins of Modern Posture Practice. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.